We are in this series called At Our Core, and we're looking at our core values, the things that matter. And remember, core values detached from the people they impact are just boring words. But when we look at the people, the lives, starting with our own, that our core values transform through the power of Jesus, then we begin to grasp how much they matter. And so today we're talking about the fact that at our core, we value the word. At our core, we value the word by learning what it means and doing what it says. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." In other words, don't just listen to the sermon and think you're good. Right? Oh, kind of quiet in the house this morning. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So is that easy or is that hard? Right? Depends on the day, depends on the topic. Yeah. Have you ever been given a task that seems like almost insurmountable? Like that's really, really hard? Like your boss says, "I have this new project for you," and you're like, "I don't even know what language you're speaking, much less what you've just assigned me to do." Or you'd set out to do something or something that just seems unattainable and out of reach. Like when you're 16 and you say, "I'm going to be a millionaire." What's the percentage of millionaires in our culture? Yeah, right? Can I tell you God's word isn't made to be that hard? Really isn't. Like there is put together a bookcase from Target hard, and there's put together an entertainment center from IKEA hard. Right? Like, yeah, let that sink in for a minute. There's 15 pieces and I can probably guess and get it mostly right or get it right the second time. Or there's 1,700 pieces and there's no chance I can even get the main things connected without help, right? There is, I'm going to run around the block hard, and there's, I'm going to run a half marathon or a marathon hard. Can I ask what enables us to do the really hard things? What are some things that help us go? I have some marathon runners in the room. I have some people who have done some really hard things, who jumped out of airplanes for a living, or who, you know, like what enables us, what helps us do the really hard things successfully? This is the point where y'all talk back and shout out answers.
Training.
Training, right? What helps you? Practice?
Perseverance.
The instruction book. The training manual for the IKEA thing, right? Like, all those things help. You see, tools and step-by-step instructions and support from our leaders are what enables us to take what seems insurmountable at the glance and make it doable and achievable and actually something we can not only survive in but thrive in. So we have this task as a church, right? That's what we're talking about all month. It's not just like, why are we examining our core just for us? Like, we're looking at it in the context of the fact that God has called us to connect our neighbors and the needs of our community with the unconditional, empowering love of God through Jesus Christ. That's a lot, right? He's called us to make connections, to bridge the gaps. To bridge the gaps in socioeconomic groups in this community, to bridge the gaps in racial tensions in this community, to bridge the gaps between military and civilian families in this community. And those are all good things, but again, we're not here just to be a social program. All of that is done by bridging the gap between life without Jesus and life with Jesus. All of that is done by bridging the gap between condemned and redeemed, by helping people bridge the gap between death and life. Y'all, that's what we're here for. That's good stuff, right? But if we're honest, if we're not afraid to look in the mirror, then that can be hard to do just for us in this time. In this culture, in our society, when we're tempted to get drawn into this Facebook feed or that Facebook feed or this social media feed or this platform or that platform, or this way of life or that way of life, it can be hard. And I'm here to tell you that God didn't want us to be intimidated, that God is here to train us up and equip us. You see, in his word, he has given us instructions. That's what we're looking at this week. And then in the Holy Spirit, God himself has given us himself with the Holy Spirit as our mentor and our coach and our trainer. And that's next week. That's just a tidbit for you to hang on to, right? And look, there are 100 places. Okay, maybe exaggeration. There are at least a dozen solid passages that I could go to preach a sermon on the significance and importance of leaning into God's word. But the one that I really feel drawn to is a passage we examined on the worship night we had the week before our soft launch. And in that passage, it was in Deuteronomy. And it's when God's people are preparing to go into the promised land. It's actually Moses' last big speech to the people before he puts Joshua in power, before he transfers power from God, from himself to Joshua. And in that, I want to remind us that the Israelites have been enslaved to Egypt for over 400 years, right? So they have lost their identity. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know how to function as God's people. They were completely thrust into and made slave of what started out as a good working relationship, but very quickly became an oppressive, condemning, cruel society that they were made to serve under. And so God freed them from that, and in their lack of obedience to God, their demonstration that they needed more time to figure out who they were in God, then they spent 40 years in the desert wandering around. Not just wandering, that was training ground for them. Remember last week we said that a lot of times God has to do something in us in the hard work of the pasture so he can do something through us in the great power of the palace. That was their pasture work that they had to do. But in that, God is talking to his people and they have what seems like an insurmountable task in front of them. Go into this promised land I'm giving you. The one I tried to send you, this is Pastor Jen reminders tucked in here. The one I tried to send you into 40 years ago, but you wouldn't listen to me and you wouldn't obey, so you needed some more training up. So we're going to try this again. Go into the promised land where I have sent you and be my people. And they're trying to figure all that out. And God says, but I have a roadmap for you. I have a plan for you. You don't have to fail at this. It doesn't have to be an IKEA piece of furniture, y'all. Let me break it down and make it simple. So we're going to pick up for our folks either in the room and online. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to start in verse 11. I'm going to invite you to read with me, and we're going to have it up on the screen. You guys ready? Got your good reading voices on this morning? I want to hear you online. Yeah, we have technology. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, the base down the road, I've been working with them. No, I'm just kidding. So, all right, read with me. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. It is very near to you. I've wrestled with this passage throughout the week and tried to, you know, sometimes like you try to hear God's voice, like when you get a text and you're trying to read the tone. And I'm trying to hear, was God really being like super soft and building us up? Or is he like, can y'all quit with the excuses? Like, I didn't put it up in heaven, so you had to run up and get it, figure out how to get wings and fly to me to get it. It's there. You don't have to cross the ocean to get it. It's right there. He was probably being really encouraging. That's probably the redhead voice in my head that's like, enough already, right? But he says, it's near to you. It's right there. It's not too hard. And oh, by the way, this was before the Holy Spirit. This was before Jesus, the Word. Jesus was the Word, is the Word, dwelt among us as the Word. Before Jesus, the Word dwelt among us, and before we received as believers the Holy Spirit in our heart. It's not too hard. But can I tell you, it doesn't say that he gave it to us, brought it near to us, put it in our mouths and in our hearts so that we could consider it. He said that he did all that so we could obey it. And so the first thing I want us to focus on is that our mission is not impossible, it is attainable. He said, now what I'm commanding you is not too difficult for you. Learning what the word means and doing what the word says is not all that hard, you guys. God has made it not too difficult for us. Are we okay? Y'all are like, I don't know about that. Because if I amen that, then I got to change. Well, never mind. I'm going to get out of your inner dialogue and get back into mine. So if we continue knowing that what we have in front of us with the word is attainable, not impossible, then we continue in verses 15 and 16. Read with me. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. God says, today I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. I want us to understand, because I think this is the point, especially because I've taken us to an Old Testament passage. We have this perception that God is like, all right, if you listen to me, I'm going to live you, and if you disobey me, I'm going to death you. Like, God is like, got this big bully stick, and he's like, step out of line so I can whack-a-mole with your head, right? Like, let me just beat you up because you're not being obedient to what I said. And we misread this passage. There is absolutely death and destruction in a disobedience to God, but it is not from God. I want us to understand that because, well, I tell you what, to help us make the paradigm shift, I just want to read you a passage that you hear me quote pretty frequently here at Bridge Church. It's John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When God says he sets before us life and prosperity or death and destruction, he says, when you walk with me and obey my commands, you will live and live in increase. You will enter the land I possess, or you will enter the land I have given you to possess. But death and destruction is at the hand of the enemy. Jesus himself is telling us in John 10:10, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we would have life and have it abundantly. Sin is the origin of death. Sin comes from the enemy. Our temptation to sin comes from the enemy and walking in that. So if we understand that following the ways of Satan is embracing death, but following the ways of Jesus is embracing life, then we don't misconstrue God as some evil dictator. It is God who is saying, Satan is offering you death, but I have life for you. You don't have to walk in death and darkness. You don't have to walk in the destruction of bad habits and ways. You don't have to walk in absence and lack. Follow me, turn away from darkness, and turn into the light and walk in life. God is the source of life, not death. And y'all, we got to get this right, because if we don't understand that this word in all of it brings life, then we're going to hesitate to share it with other people. If we don't really believe at our core that this word brings life, then we're going to feel like we're preaching legalism and law instead of life. But our mission is the opposite. Our mission is to bring life, not legalism. Our mission to a hurting world is to bring life, not legalism. Let me dig a little deeper, or come a little closer. Our mission in our homes, in our own hearts, is not to view God's word as law and legalism, but to recognize this living word is life. And that is what God is offering us. Amen, church. We're going to go on to Deuteronomy 30, verses 17 and 18. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. God says, if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, by the way, he doesn't say if you step outside the line an inch, right? If your heart turns away. But here's the key to this verse. And if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods. Is God going to draw you away to bow down to other gods? Who draws us away? Satan draws us away. The enemy draws us away. Y'all are like, well, Pastor Jen, there's not other God. We're not out worshiping Baal like... We're not at the Mormon tabernacle. We're not over here doing other stuff. We're not finding strange God. We're not practicing voodoo. What are you talking about? Gods are idols. What are the idols of today that draw us away from God? By the way, this is an interactive part. Social media, money, TV, addiction. What else? Careers and jobs, pornography, I think I heard, all kinds of things draw us away. Draw us away, snare us. You see, the enemy, the thief, wants to trap us, trick us, break in and draw us away. I mean, okay, shy of the occasional armed robbery in daylight, how does a thief come? A thief comes in the night. A thief comes in the dark. A thief comes in disguise. And so the problem is, and why it matters so much to know the word, is if we don't know the word and the ways of Jesus, we won't recognize the trap that we're stepping into. We won't recognize the snare that's got our foot caught. If you don't know, look, if you don't know what this word says about palm readers and fortune tellers and ghosts, then guess what? I don't know about y'all, but I am so sick of the paranormal commercials on TV right now, because we're leading up to Halloween. Like every single commercial break, there is something about ghosts or the afterlife or the paranormal activities. Guess what? Scripture says it's all from Satan. Translation, Aunt Sally is not talking to you. The demon might know what Aunt Sally did, said, and thought, but Aunt Sally is not talking to you. But if you don't know that, if you don't know that and you are desperate in grief and loss, then Satan's going to snare you and trip you up. And your heart was never intending to turn away from God, not ever. But you didn't know what it said. And the enemy capitalized on that and took advantage of you. And I don't know if you're aware, but the word's got a lot to say, and not just about churchy stuff. It's not just about obeying in spiritual things. The word's got a lot to say about money and friendship and business, about sex and marriage and parenting. It's got a lot to say about how we conduct business. Do you know? Do you know that the word gives specific instruction that if someone is in need and you're going to lend to them to help them with their need, you're not allowed to make profit off of that? That it is not to be the same business transaction as loaning to someone who's not in need. There's a business loan, and then there's a meeting the need loan. And you're not allowed to profit off of one of them. Did you know that? Actually, it says it in there more than once. I particularly brought that up because if you were in your reading plan last week, you read that. You also read that if your enemy that curses you, his donkey or his ox is failing, you're supposed to help the donkey or ox. And I know some of you were like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? So let me translate. When the person who has been slandering you's Mercedes is broken down on the side of the road in the pouring rain, you're not supposed to leave them there. You're supposed to help them anyway, because we respond in Christ rather than reacting in the flesh to what other people do to us. Amen, church. So I have a question. Where in your life is Satan trying to trip you up and draw you away? Where is Satan trying to trick you and trap you, turning you away from the light and getting your foot snared and pulling you in to darkness, death, and destruction? Can we all maybe take some time this week to do an inventory? Because God wants us to have life. So if we're going to stay on course, we need to remember that our mission is going to face opposition. There is an enemy who's come to what? Steal, kill, destroy. Our mission is going to bring opposition, but we stay focused. And guess what? Our Savior has already defeated our enemy. It is done. It is finished. It's just whose corner are we going to walk in? We're going to finish up in Deuteronomy, in our Deuteronomy passage. I want you to read with me. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. Pause. So that you may love the Lord your God, listen and hold fast to him. Let's read the rest together. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says, God has set before us life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life. We have to get the past thinking that choosing this word means choosing some ball and chain that steals our fun. We have to get past thinking that this word has sections that pertain, but sections that are irrelevant. That's not true. It says to choose life. We got to choose life in every circumstance of life. Because one dead limb really cuts your life short, right? Like in all the places. Choosing life means listening to God's voice. God's voice is here. God's voice is in your prayer time. God's voice is in this word. It's why Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive and active. It's not some Jumanji witchcraft trick, right? Like in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word walked among us and the Word is contained in the Word. The last part is not in the passage, by the way. It's a summation of everything. The Word is alive and active and we need to listen to it. And it means holding fast. That means clinging, staying close to, engaging, joined fast, and bonded to. How bonded are you to Scripture? How bonded am I to Scripture? You don't have to raise your hands or answer out loud on this one. How much are you clinging to God's word in every area of your life? How would you do without your Bible for a day or a week or a month? How would you do without your device for an hour? How would you do without social media for a day or a week or a month? It goes back to the God, the false gods and the idols. What are we clinging to in our lives? Got really quiet in the house, Pastor Vic. What are we clinging to? What if we got as twitchy about not having scripture at hand as we did about leaving our phones at home? Right? How different would our lives look if even half of what we gave to social media we gave to Jesus? Our mission is to choose life, to love, to listen, and to cling to our Creator. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it's going to be up on the screen. I want to read it to you. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Remember those good works we talked about last week, where God's masterpiece created anew in Christ to do the good works he prepared? How do we know the good works? Guess what? God has spelled them out in his word. All scripture. I have people who say they just want to dismiss the Old Testament, like we can just be in the New Testament. Can I tell you that when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, it was just a letter. It was not scripture. Scripture referred by and large to the Old Testament and then to Jesus's words. So the words that they had captured that Jesus had spoken, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet, they considered holy scripture and the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, Jesus quoted or referred to the Old Testament. I want to get my numbers right here. And of course, now I have lost that particular piece of one that I wanted to share with you. 180 of the 1,800 verses that are Jesus's words are quotes or references to the Old Testament. Far more than that, almost 1,000 references to the Old Testament are in the New Testament. So if you think we should just skip the Old Testament, or Pastor Jen, why are you preaching about Daniel? Or why are you preaching about? Because all of God's word is useful for teaching us, for building us up. Look, Nehemiah is the best business leader's book out there, right? It's the best book for rebuilding your life out there, and it's in the Old Testament. We're not going to skip that. Back to the passage in the New Testament. It teaches us what is true. God's word makes us realize, which means brings to our awareness. Because if you don't know what it says, you can't be aware of it. You can't know how to handle it. So the word is designed to bring to our awareness what is wrong in our lives. It corrects and it teaches. It equips and it prepares. And not just for churchy works. We said that earlier. For every work. For teaching us what is a true friend and what is a fake friend. For teaching us how to be good business leaders and how to be good employees. For teaching us how to handle depression and grief and anxiety. For teaching us all those things. The problem so often is that we want to pick up the word and apply it when we want to apply it. Quiet in the house again. You see, one of the things we've been talking in our Financial Peace University class, Dave Ramsey's up there, and he's a little mouthy, I'll give it that. But he's like, y'all, you got to figure this out, because we have people who want to come in and find financial freedom and pay off debt, but they don't like everything I'm saying, so they want to take some of the principles, and they want to Dave Ramsey-ish it. Like, I'm going to Ramsey-ish it. We take God's word in our lives and we want to ish it. We want to scripture-ish it. Oh, that's not y'all. When somebody you don't want to forgive and God says you need to forgive, what's that really look like? When you're facing a trial or a struggle, when you're hot and heavy on a date, Y'all think I'm too old to remember that. We want to ish it, sort of, ish. And ishing isn't going to get us there. Ishing leads to getting our foot snared and getting trapped into death and destruction instead of living in life and life in abundance. So let me ask, where in your life are you ishing God's word? Sort of follow it. Maybe that's a principle. You know what? We like to apply God's word as the bottom line when it means prosperity for us or someone else forgiving us. And we like it to be a suggestion or a possibility or an option when it corrects us or instructs us against a different direction, away from the direction we want to take. And I'm with you. Twice divorced, life was a hot mess. Husband can attribute to it. Youngest son is here today. He can attribute to it. That's what ishing gets you. But God, in his living word, so where are you ishing the word and selling yourself short of life in abundance? Where are we finding our truth? Church, let's be honest. How often do we Google an article or look for a podcast to deal with the problems in our life before we open our Bibles? How often do we go to some expert that's human before we go to the creator who created the expert for advice? And I get it can be hard, it can be overwhelming. We have these books out here. These are books we give to our new believers, but I have them out here. We've got a few of them. It's called God's Promises and Answers. There's 1,000 different versions of this. This particular one I have found to be the best. You're like, Pastor Jen, you're telling us to be in the Word, and now you're showing us a book. This is all scripture, okay? So, but I recognize it can be overwhelming because where do you find witchcraft in here unless you've gone old school and know how to look it up in your concordance and look for it? It could be hard, right? Where do I find how to deal with my marriage? Where do I find how to deal with, I am feeling really anxious. I am feeling, you know what? I'm feeling rebellious. Who has felt rebellious at some point in this pandemic about against one thing or another? Who has felt rebellious in their life? Well, what are the scriptures on rebellion? What do they say? This book, you can look it up. Oh, wait, rebellion? Here's the passages. Here, okay, go to this page, and there are 6 passages on how to deal with rebellion. Oh, how do you deal with marital problems? Or how do I know the power of God's word? Or the list goes on and on and on. This is what I always say. Look in here. It's the passage. The reference is there. It is just scripture. There's no commentary. There's no opinion. Scripture. But then take it and go straight back to the word and look it up and find it. And make sure that it's right and that it's in context always. Y'all are so good at Googling. Google it. Google scriptures on finances. Google scriptures on friendship. Google scriptures on love or forgiveness. It's there. But get in it. Find your truth in the truth instead of finding your truth in the social media opinion of the day. Amen, church. Will we allow the word to correct us? Will we invite the word to teach us, to build us up and equip us? And you know what? It can seem overwhelming and it can seem like a lot. I'm going to take us back to a passage we shared last week. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and commands hang on this. What does that mean, Pastor Jen? That means that in my weakness, I can't do it. But in God's love, I can. That means when I am in an impasse with someone and I don't have it in my heart anymore to forgive them, I can go back to loving God and loving my neighbor and I can cling, hang on. Remember that hold tight and hang on and cling to? I can cling to Jesus and his love for me, and in that, I can offer forgiveness. If for nothing else, because Jesus died for me and forgave me, then I can do it. When I am facing an addiction that is too much for me to handle on my own, then I can cling to loving God. I can cling to loving God. I can cling to loving my neighbor, my wife, my husband, my child. I can cling to that, and in that, then I can recognize that my drunkenness is a sin and it's hurting them. And then I can have the power to overcome it. In that, I can recognize that spending beyond my means makes me slave to the borrower and that, or the lender, and that puts my family in jeopardy. That puts my future in jeopardy. When I cling to how it can hurt them, then I have the power, because I'm clinging to Jesus, and it all hangs on love. Not law, but love. Church, our mission is not impossible. It is attainable. Connecting our neighbors and our community to God's unconditional, empowering love that starts with connecting ourselves. It's not impossible. It's attainable. It brings life, not legalism. Our mission does have an enemy who offers death and destruction, but God has already won the war. So let's know our scripture, know our Bible, know what Jesus says, and not get tripped up. Our mission is to live. Our mission is to live. Y'all need some life in here. Like, you need some, I don't know, injections of the Holy Spirit, because caffeine didn't do it for you this morning. Our mission is to live. And we live to the full in loving and listening and clinging to our Creator. So what's the ask today? What's the charge today? Our family that's online, what's the mission today? What are we after? When you can't do it, when you feel like you're at the end and you just can't do what God wants you to do, the ask is too much. Hold fast. Cling to him. Go to him for his advice before social media. When you're being drawn away, turn back. Well, that sounds easy, like, I want to make that practical. When you pay Comcast or Verizon for the movie to watch at home and you think it's going to be okay and you get 15 or 20 minutes in, and maybe you even paid for it the week it first came out, so you paid like $20 instead of $6, right? And you get 15 or 20 minutes in and you realize that either the sex or the language or the drinking or the drugs or whatever in that movie is too much. Turn back. It's not worth your $20. Like, you're instead of being like, I don't want to waste my $20, I'll just sit here. And you know it's doing things in your mind that you shouldn't have done in your mind. You know it's leading you down a path. You know what? Don't watch the ghost movies and the real life application. They're demonic. Don't go get your palm read. When you feel tempted, turn back. And if you got a half a foot in, God is bigger than the enemy. He'll pull you out. He says he will always provide a way for you to escape. Just look for it. Just look for it. When you are, I wasn't going to say this. So when you are several steps closer to another human being than you ought to be, it's not too late to get up. Put your clothes back on and walk out the door. Man. When you're listening to a message like this one, or sitting in Bridge Builders Group, and the word convicts you of something, makes a correction, and you don't like it because it stings, don't be mad at the pastor. And don't lash out at your Bridge Builders leader. Like, don't lash out at your group leader. And you know what? Don't be mad at God, because just like a parent has to correct a child sometimes, it's out of love and a desire for you to have life. Most of all, accept the assignment. Walk in it. Cling to it. As Pastor Shelley said in her prayer, we can succumb to culture, or we can change culture. Pastor Rick, would you come up and pray?
Lord, we thank you for this word today. Lord, we just we sit here, we stand here, we're at home online, we're in this room, Lord, and it's the word. It's your word. And you gave it to us. There was no price on it. Well, there was a price, but you gave us the word to live by, Lord. And so it's our choice, life and prosperity, death or destruction. I choose life and prosperity. Let's all choose life and prosperity. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for this day, Lord. Would you help us? Because we need help. The great deceiver, Satan, the discourager, he is ready to throw that snare. He's poised. And it's just that one step. But as Pastor Jen says, you gave us the word to convict us. You gave us a helper to help us. It's never too late to turn and step away. It's never too late to turn and run. And Lord, so would you just put those things on our heart that you would have us focus on, Lord?
And God, I just want to open this up, because it really comes down to clinging to you. It comes down to embracing Jesus, the Word, who is our life, our Redeemer. And so if there's anybody who needs to take the first step of accepting Jesus, not trying to do it in their own power, because the biggest ish of all would be thinking you could do this without Jesus. The biggest lie of all would be thinking we could do it without you, Jesus. And so whether you're online or you're in the room, if you have not ever accepted Jesus' gift of eternal life, if you have never said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Yes, I want to walk in your ways. Yes, I believe. I admit that I am a sinner. And I believe that you are the Son of God who came to save me from my sins. And I commit to following you to the best of my ability, whatever that looks like, but I commit to you. Then we just offer you the opportunity to do that now. It's a simple prayer that is, yes, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are accepting Jesus for the first time today, if you are saying yes to Jesus for the first time today, would you raise your hand so we can pray for you and with you? For our online family, you can drop a private message to us. You can drop a message into the chat. We want to make sure we are walking beside you. For all of us, if we have been convicted by somewhere where we are ishing it, and we want to take the moment today to say, no more, I'm going to accept Jesus' way. I'm going to choose life and blessing in this area of my life where I have been setting it aside. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you this week? I see you. We stand with you and beside you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We lift our hands up to you, Lord. We look up to you. In your name, amen.